This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hi, welcome back to a new episode of Shut Your Face. Yes, I have kind of changed some things around, but it's still just as cool. Anyhow, if you're not a member of our Patreon, what are you doing? It's really cool. So head over there and become a member so you can get early access. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast, and let us begin.
Hi, is this Jane?
Yes, it is.
Hey, it's Brianna. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good. Are you ready for your episode?
I am.
Very cool. Okay. Well, I'm just going to go ahead and get into it. You, my friend, you started Stable Pro, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And how long has this been? What made you decide to do this, and how long have you been doing this?
So, starting off, I guess it was August of 2023 when we really nailed down the idea of doing Stable Pro. I'd been kind of looking for an avenue for how I could be involved more in the horse world and kind of stepping up into more, especially the reining world with some of my horse trainers, and in the process started to just kind of see the same issues over and over again and the same stresses that each horse trainer was dealing with. So August 2023 at Run for a Million, when it's kind of the starting date for when I really started putting all this together.
Now, when you say we, is it other people involved, or is it just you, or you're just the face of it?
So initially me, and then I just bounced ideas off of horse trainers for the most part, and really just tried to make sure that whatever I was building was actually useful.
Yeah, because you just said stresses. So what are the typical stresses that you would, or people would say to you as far as a horse trainer is concerned? Because I know we kind of touched on this vaguely in our preface call about how horse people, again, no offense, but some of the best people with horses are not the best with people. I mean, it just is what it is. It's not a bad thing, actually. It's a good thing. So what were some of those stresses that were expressed?
Yeah, the initial thing that I was seeing was at Run Per Million, I was in the barn and I was looking around at the horse trainers, and they're the absolute celebrities at these things, and so they should be having the time of their lives. And they were just stressed about, especially the spouses, who oftentimes the billing falls on, were just stressed about getting invoicing correct. They're having to run to the business office and all of these things over and over again. And so that kind of put that thought in my mind that this has to be an easier way to do this. So then really started drawing out plans for how we could do a complete invoicing system, not just that show billing, but do the entire billing system for the entire process of the horse training business. And so getting invoices out on time in a streamlined, easy fashion to clients was kind of one of the big stressors that we focused on solving first. So we've been able to kind of tackle that and make that an ultra easy process for the horse trainer so that they can just basically log on once a month. They don't even have to log on once a month if they're all set up. It just automatically sends out the invoices, and they're done.
So Stable Pro is just basically a QuickBooks for horses?
That's the start of it, I guess you could say. We designed the whole program around the horse trainer's life so that basically you could operate the entire thing from horseback. And then in doing so, we also built in additional features than other than just billing. So say you want to run lessons, you can manage an entire schedule and have lessons through Stable Pro, and it'll invoice clients as soon as the lesson's completed. Tried to make it as intuitive as process as possible.
Okay, then, so it's not just, okay, so there is very specific horse-related things that are in this. Okay, all right, because when you first started talking, I was like, so this is just QuickBooks, why is this different? Okay, well, that's nice.
No, so we really tried to turn it into an all-in-one business management software for horse trainers, and so lessons is one of those features. A big one that I think is really cool is the trips feature. And so you basically, as a trainer, build out your trip, and instead of having to figure out which horse gets what bill and is billed for how many mileage, we automatically calculate the mileage that's added to each horse, the invoice is created, whatever bills that you have during the trip you can add on there, and it'll automatically divided amongst the horses. You can adjust those accordingly. It's built very intuitive to make the horse trainer's life extremely easy.
Yeah, that is nice because, you know, it's already, not to make this, I don't want to make this whole episode about this product, but to have a horse is a lifestyle. It's not like, I mean, the sport in general is different from other sports because with soccer, you can just go to your soccer lesson on Wednesday and not pick up that ball again. Whereas horses, it's a completely different ball game. Like it's 24/7, Monday through Monday. And the fact that you have created this specifically for horse people, I can imagine the load it kind of takes off of their shoulders and they can actually focus more on the horse and what the horse needs.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is one of the driving passions that's kind of evolved out of this whole process as I started to see it having a huge impact on my trainer friends' lives. And they were actually able to focus more on their training and they're not as stressed out about getting invoices out. And they're...
I see you got tiers too. Yeah, this is really cool. Okay, so you've got tiers and then it goes up with the more horses that you have. How cool is that?
Yeah, so I tried to design it so that it would grow with your program. So if you have one horse to 10 horses, it's going to be extremely affordable for to use.
Right.
And then as soon as you get over 10 horses, it automatically adjusts and bills you accordingly. And for each tier, it's just set. So it's what we call the auto-tiered billing subscription. And that way, if your business shrinks some, we're not overcharging you. And if it's growing, it's charging appropriately.
Yeah. Okay, now, so this just made me think about something. Okay, so you own, where did it go? 50 Horse Ranch.
Yeah,
I knew I wasn't saying that wrong. Yeah, okay, and you guys, do you do training yourself too or no?
I am working on bringing in a trainer where I'm building the ranch. So we're at about 90% complete now. And so I've done breeding for years out of it and then working on bringing in a trainer that will host. And then I have my own set of horses that I work with and have fun with here.
Well, that's cool. Okay, so what made you want to bring in a trainer? Because most people that I've met that run ranches like that, that kind of do their own breeding things, they tend to keep it separately. Most all of them I've seen have kind of just kept it separately unless they have a stud that they want to start trying to advertise differently as far as like showing, and they'll bring a trainer in for that specific discipline. So What are you looking to actually to focus on for your training?
Yeah, for the ranch itself, well, it's built, it's geared towards the cow horse profession, and that's mm-hmm. big here in northern Nevada. And really, it's just to get the community involved and doing stuff and have a trainer who can give lessons here and run their program out of here.
Okay.
A big part of it is the 50 Horse Ranch is very involved with the community here versus Stable Pro is not tied down physically, so we're able to interact and build a community with the entire equine world that way.
I think that's so cool. Okay. Now, do you mainly, if you're located in Nevada, do you tend to go towards California and show, or do you show more around Nevada, or do you ever travel outside, like to Texas and stuff? Those would be the closest two other places that would have big shows, I would think.
So the trainers that I've worked with, and I don't really do a lot of showing these days. I look forward to eventually getting back into it, but the trainers I've worked
with. Yeah, you're probably too busy.
Yeah, that's one of my goals this year is actually to take a few days off work so that I can go to shows and enjoy myself.
Well, that's cool. Yeah. You know what? Just a side note, I understand how it feels because, trust me, I understand how it feels. It actually feels super weird for me to take a day off. I feel so guilty. I feel like I should be working. So it's hard for me psychologically to take a day off.
Yeah, exactly. And horse trainers fall into that same category because you're always working. And
yeah.
I mean, in order to fund all these projects, I have multiple jobs, and you know how it is. You know probably better than most how it is.
No, yeah, exactly. Well, no, yes, I'm completely just relating to what you're saying. It's very, very relatable statement because it's hard to tell yourself that you actually need to do it, though, mentally, because, you know, you don't want to get burned out and you don't want to get to where you don't love what you're doing or lose focus of what you're doing, because it's very easy to do when you just work nonstop. But I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I didn't mean to interrupt you, but your goal is to show some at least this year. And you guys, do you travel outside of Nevada much? Or
so the horse that I will that I have starting is going to be in Texas with Casey Deary, and so he'll train her up this year, and hopefully with any luck he'll start showing her next year. And then I have a couple of horses of my own here in Nevada that I look forward to just kind of doing some local stuff with eventually. They're all 2 and 3 year olds, and so you know how that is. It can be a bit of a show.
Well, it's just fun. Like, the whole experience is fun, though, I think.
Yeah, and we're hoping to actually start putting on little clinics and stuff here before too long at my facility so that we can start just getting just more going on here. It seems like Fallon, Nevada, where I'm at right now, that just hasn't been, you know how the economy has been.
Well, you're in a weird spot, too, because a lot of people, it's like a hop skip, because you have a lot of kind of activity on the East Coast. You've always got stuff going on the East Coast, at least anywhere right of where Tennessee and Mississippi and stuff is. And then the next big spot is like Texas, and then it's like everybody skips all the way to either Las Vegas or California.
Yep, Arizona, Las Vegas, and California.
Yeah.
And I find myself driving down to the Las Vegas shows. It's only about a 6.5 hour drive from here. So I'll drive down there occasionally and go to those.
Well, that's cool, though. I mean, at least you are near something. You're not, you know, having to travel a ridiculous amount of time to get somewhere.
Yeah, it's a lot closer than where I grew up. I grew up way out in the middle of nowhere, and I mean, so far out in the middle of nowhere that I didn't even know how to work street lights when I moved away from there.
So hold on a second. So you're not, okay, so where were you, where are you from?
So I grew up in Orvada, Nevada, which is just a little farming community about 3.5 hours north of where I'm at now.
Oh, so what brought you down to Fallon?
So I went away to school, and my parents sold the big ranch that they had in Orvada, and we still have a little place up there consisting of a few hundred acres that we'll pasture horses on. But as they aged, they needed to be closer to medical care and whatnot. So
yeah,
they moved here into Fallon, which is only an hour outside of Reno. When I finished up all my schooling, I decided I wanted to be close to them, so it made sense to move here, and I got the piece of land that was next to their farm and developed that into 50 Horse Ranch, so we have kind of a conglomeration of Dexter properties over here now.
Well, that's really cool. Yeah, because you say 100 acres like it's nothing. I mean, around I'm at, that's a lot. That's a lot of land from where I'm at.
Yeah, a lot of the ranches around here are a few hundred acres to several thousand acres.
That's so cool, because that's the norm for you guys. Like, to you, like, you know, to that location, that geographic area, that's just like normal to you, whereas that's not normal where I'm at. Like, a couple hundred acres is considered huge over here. You know, your average little farm size here for a couple of horses is probably 20 to 50, if that.
Yeah.
You know, that would be considered a decent size for a couple of horses. But I mean, I was talking to a girl in one episode where we were kind of talking about Las Vegas and, you know, how people, horse owners down there, literally don't have the room. And it's, you know, they get a lot of heat for it, you know, for, like, there's a big discussion between letting horses out and keeping them up, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And if you technically don't have the space at all, you know, what are you supposed to do? And it's just crazy to hear the different ways
Las
people...
Yeah, Las Vegas, I don't understand how people do it there. And it gets so hot there.
Yeah. Yeah, it would absolutely drive me crazy, too.
So, fun to visit. Not my cup of tea for long term.
So, let me ask you this. You grew up on a ranch, obviously. Did you guys do horse breeding there? Did you grow up around horse breeding and then just kind of carry that on yourself? Or was it just a beef ranch? Or what exactly did you grow up around as far as horses?
So, we had about 500 cattle for a long time, enough so that we learned that that was not what I wanted to do full time. We had the horse operation going since I think my parents have been doing it for well over 50 years. And,
oh, wow.
So I kind of inherited and took that over, and a lot of the rationale for me building the ranch and building Stable Pro came out of watching them, and they were always successful with it, but never, I mean, I guess they broke even with it, but never ultimately that successful with it. And so it was always a struggle, and you have such good horses, and you struggle to place them with good people, and it was just always a struggle. So I've watched them and just repeated to myself over and over again, there's got to be a better way we can figure out how to do this. And so that's what I've been working on, is creating products and creating a lifestyle here that capitalizes on all the good things that they've taught me, and really trying to bring in the knowledge of other people who have done it really right and build something great here.
Well, I think it's obviously it's great. I think it's a great thing, and other people are going to think it's a great thing. But so where do you kind of see Stable Pro in the next 2 years, 5 years, and 10 years? I know we kind of touched base on where you would like to get it, where you would like to work up to certain goals. What do you see for it in those time frames?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. Well, like you pointed out with the billing structure and the business structure, how it's built to grow with the trainers, the Stable Pro as a whole, the entire company is really structured around growing with our trainer volume. And so right now we're incorporating trainers at a slower pace, but making sure that I sit down and I talk to every single trainer, I check in with them, and I make sure things work perfectly for them. And so we're in these first 2 years developing, building, and making sure we have that perfect product for the horse trainer. Then hopefully by that time we'll have grown enough that we can start building out towards the next step, which will be incorporating other horse professions and tweaking and modifying things so we can make it easy to bridge the gap into the farrier businesses and equine therapy and whatever other ancillary businesses that tie into horse training go. And then by 10 years, I hope to have it well enough developed and have enough clients, because there's both a trainer portal and a client portal. And if we can get both the trainers and the clients, enough of them on, I hope to start connecting it to actual show platforms and basically building out a show platform so that trainers can connect to that show, drop in whatever classes, and just streamline the entire equine process for the horse shows, eventually bridge into maybe some veterinary stuff, which sounds like big aspirations, but that's where my medical background kind of comes into play.
No, I think it's great because it is actually a I don't want to say a cluster, but it can be a cluster for a lot of people that run shows. Obviously, the big shows, the big shows, they have massive teams and people that have jobs and they get it done, you know, efficiently. But there's always like a level, a step up when it comes to going from a small show to a bigger show to a bigger show to a bigger show. And when you get to that like busting seam of, okay, well, I need to hire a person, or I need to do this, or I need to delegate that, I could see where Stable Pro, or you could call it, you know, Stable Show, can be brought in to help alleviate other things. So that's really cool to hear, because I know, I mean, a lot of show producers could lose their minds on a weekly basis just off of the sheer customer service itself when it comes to running a show, you know?
Yeah, I like that, what you said there, with Stable Show. Yeah, if you imagine, some of my horse trainers are showing up with 20 to 50 horses to these horse shows. I mean,
yeah,
to keep everything organized, and then also they have to figure out which horses are being entered into what classes, which entry fees go to which horses. If we could basically have that all streamlined, so you basically select the horse that you have already in your profile, say it's taking this class, it's automatically entered, the invoice is put together for the client, all of that is set up right there. The amount of stress it would take off both trainers and trainers' spouses would be immense.
Yeah, because I think it's funny how a lot of the ones that are doing other things, because, you know, you have the horse trainer occupation in itself, but then you have some horse trainers who are doing a lot of other things. They're doing sales, they're doing boarding, they're doing lessons. They're not just your average drop your horse off for 30, 60 days and then come pick it up, you know, or they're showing horses, they're starting to do stallions, they're starting to do all this other kind of stuff to alleviate just being a horse trainer. Because, I mean, just to be real, a horse trainer doesn't make that much money. And, you know, if you want to be successful in anything, you have to add new things, more things to it. And so I think it's cool. I think it's cool to see a lot of these guys and girls starting to do all of that other stuff to incorporate into their program to help them even more. And so you, that's where you're coming in on the back end to help them be able to do that.
Yes, that's my goal, is I want it to be less stressful for them, and I want them to make a much better living out of everything. I want them to be focused on the horses rather than stressing about the billing and stressing about getting lessons organized. They can basically set their free time on their calendar, and clients can drop in. We're even working towards, here in the relatively near future, a business suite which will take and track all their income that they've reported through the Stable Pro from invoices and whatnot. Then it will automatically generate the P&L forms, and then they can send that to their CPA directly. So we'll work on accomplishing those tax features as well. I've talked to a large veterinary supply company, and we're working towards creating an inventory system in Stable Pro so that rather than sit there and try and remember, oh, how much is this ivermectin? They just select, they gave ivermectin, it pulls it out of their inventory and invoices it. So there's a lot on the horizon that we're working on, and I can say we now because I did hire a developer that follows all my crazy wireframing that I do for this.
Now, what is wireframing?
So when you're building an app or a website or something, you want to kind of see where each button's going to take you and what action's going to happen with each button. And so that wireframing basically makes it so the developer can look at what I have in my head and build it.
So the developer does the graphics part of it, the actual look or the logistics. The wire is like the functionality?
That's how I show the developer what to create, essentially. And so I don't do the coding. I do the design, the function, all of that, and then I put it down on wireframe, and then he puts it together in the actual application.
How cool is that?
And that was a process, because you can't just find a developer and be like, so you know anything
right.
about horses?
Right.
And so I spent a couple of months just interviewing over and over and just learning the process of what goes into it and how we can do things different without absolutely breaking, because it's an expensive process too. So how do we do this and make it so that it's, that I can sustain it, and at the same time it's affordable for horse trainers to use, because we're creating an awesome product but not charging an arm and a leg for it. So I interviewed and interviewed and interviewed to find that right candidate, and when I thought I'd basically run out of candidates, came across my fellow, my developer that I use now, Michael, and it's been awesome. Just, he completely understands everything I'm trying to convey. We're able to work together very well.
Well, that's cool.
Created quite the team.
Okay, so you didn't grow up showing horses and riding horses, or no? You just grew up around the breeding program that your parents had.
Yeah, I kind of got sidetracked from that. My mother got us involved into my little brother and I into the show world, and we would show locally in northern Nevada. I mean, locally is within the four-hour range. And so I grew up showing actually quite a bit as a child. I mean, we had, back when you'd do it for ribbons, we had entire closets full of ribbons.
I come from that too. I thought about this all the time.
I thought you would relate to that.
Yeah, I do a lot of awards for different shows, clubs, events, and stuff like that for horse people. And it's crazy because we didn't have these awards back then. I mean, like you could possibly win a saddle and you could win like certain bags and things like that if it was year end. But your average show was ribbons. And we did all this hard work for literally $1.50 ribbon. Whereas nowadays, it's like, it's really up the game. You've got, you know, money involved and nice awards, which is really cool. But yeah, that's funny because we really did do it for a ribbon.
Yeah, I didn't have anywhere to put my clothes because the closet was too full of ribbons.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's very relatable. So you and your brother grew up, you showed, and you did you do like just your average little fun show, or did you guys do rodeo?
So we were more heavily involved in our, I guess it was the Buckaroo County Country Club, and it was just a regular horse show, I guess you could say. Classes averaged probably 15 to 20 people, maybe. Sometimes I was the only participant, so it was, as long as I stayed on, I won. But for how remote we were, we managed to put together some pretty good horse shows.
Yeah. Well, so I mean, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I wasn't as involved on the rodeo side of things, but more so just the regular horse shows, and then also 4-H. We got really involved in the horseman aspect of 4-H.
4-H is such a great foundation for like all horse people. I just think it teaches you things that set you up differently. Because I don't know, you just people that have been around 4-H in just some form or fashion, maybe one summer or multiple summers, they just tend to be a different horse person, I have learned. And I may
Absolutely.
Be wrong.
I think you learn to kind of approach it in a different manner. You learn to value horses completely different than if you just kind of had one dropped in your lap.
Right, exactly. Now, what is the biggest, so I'm assuming you're going to go into reining or no. What are you going to hopefully want to show in?
I've always loved reining, and I look forward to getting more and more into the reining. I'm kind of by default stuck in cow horse country, which I also love.
Right.
So I'll probably end up doing more of the cow horse stuff as I have time to go into it. Plus my good reining horses go to Texas for the most part, and my cow horse trainers are all over here, so I get more opportunity to work with them and do stuff over here with cow horse. So I guess a simple answer would be, is if I'm visiting Texas, I'll probably do more reining, and if I'm stuck over here, then I'll do more cow horse.
And which one do you like better? Or do you have a preference or none?
It's hard to say. They're both so fun. And for me, I'm so often dealing with the young ones. And so I'm instilling the fundamentals of both these professions on these horses. So I would have a hard time saying I like one. If I had to do one only, I guess I'd probably pick cow horse just because it got the aspect of reining in it still.
I think that it is kind of hard to pick one because even though reining doesn't incorporate the whole cow, you know, stuff in it, a lot of people, I've talked about this before, a lot of people are gearing towards cow-related events. And as a whole, because it is a little more laid back and fun, do you think that's true?
Yeah, that's a good point. The horse industry has been so gracious to me and inviting to me to, because I've always been involved with horses, but to go from my little old ranch and then step out onto the national reining platform and start interacting with some of the big name horse trainers and stuff, I've been blown away how gracious, the different horse owners have been. It's been awesome. For example, Debbie Good owns Downright Amazing. She's texts me every once in a while, just check in on me, see how I'm doing. It's and check on Stable Pro. It's been an honor to start getting involved in this way.
Well, I think it is cool to see like the cow related stuff, and not just rain cow, but anything cow related come up more and get more recognition, because I think people are excited to see the horse do a job. Not that reining isn't a job, not that hunt seat or pleasure, I mean, I grew up pleasure for God's sake. So, not that none of that stuff isn't a job. It's funny you're laughing, because I actually joke about it now, because I tell people, I'm like, we went slow for literally no reason. So, I think people are excited to see the horse do a job. And, I think that they can relate better to that as far as trying to look at anything with a horse is concerned, sports-wise, because it seems like we have a lot more issue with people that are non-horse people fighting horse people with things that aren't cow-related. You don't, I mean,
Yeah.
like, you know what I'm, do you understand what I'm saying? So, like, on social media,
Exactly.
I literally just had this conversation with a girl in Scotland like today, like a couple of hours ago, and we were talking about how horse people can kind of really get very, well, for one, we get criticized a lot on social media, but if you ever notice, the criticism as far as animals are concerned, like, don't hurt the animal, why are you doing that to the animal, regardless of the fact that, they know or don't know or uneducated or not, it's only related to the disciplines that don't have a cow in it.
Yeah, I think I heard you talking to Billy Smith about this topic, and it is interesting. I don't know that I have a lot of input on it just because
Well,
I
like
just
with Billy,
so far.
they probably heard the part about Billy actually made a very good point when he, because I was trying to say it, but he put it in perfect form. We tend to insulate ourselves as horse people because of that very same fact. And you can't grow an industry in a sport if you don't utilize the fact that you have fans and that you have other people that are non-horse related. And it makes a lot of sense if you ever like kind of, this kind of just goes back to the whole part of horse people not being business people, et cetera, because if you're a business person, you would want people to be fans of the sport that you're in because you want to grow it. You want more eyes on it. You want it to grow. Whereas horse people tend to be, like he just said, very insulated. Not that we don't want to grow, but it's hard for us to grow because we have another living being in the sport. And it's hard to explain horse stuff to non-horse people. It's just like, I see it with
Yeah.
reining all the time on social media. You see people like, why are their heads so low? It hurts them, blah, blah, blah. And they just don't know. They just are
Yeah.
uneducated. And, it's just, it's interesting to see the difference of industries because you don't see that happen with other industries and other sports,
I know, you don't, I mean, basketball players don't deal with the same situation.
Right. Which this kind of makes you special. This actually kind of turns back around to your whole Stable Pro thing is, why can't people just use your average QuickBooks or your average invoicing system? Well, Stable Pro is a little different because it actually is going to cater to the uniqueness of horse trainers.
Yeah, and I'm not knocking any other program. I'm sure QuickBooks does a good job. I mean, they have the staff and the funding to create a product for sure. There's a few other things out there, but Stable Pro is the only thing that has been meticulously built for the horse trainer and the equine world. And every detail about Stable Pro, from the where the buttons are located, thought was put into that, from how you're going to use it while you're on a horse or while you're running through the barn. Even one of the funny things was I kept on talking to horse trainers about it, and they'd be like, yeah, I love the idea of doing Stable Pro. I'll get on there and get everything taken care of. They'd sign up, and then I'd never hear from them again because I realized they got busy and ended up doing something else. So what I built into it was one of the first steps is they just connected their assistant or their spouse, whoever helps them with actual billing and management of the business side, as one of the first steps that they do when they create an account. So now the horse trainer can get on there, drop what they're doing, and go back to the horse stuff, and then the assistant can finish that up.
Well, I think it's great. I think that it does need to be different because, like I was just saying, I mean, you know, it's not, it needs to be different for horse people.
Yeah. Plus, one of the other neat things, as a client, it's so hard to keep track of your horses at training. They just kind of disappear into that void sometimes. And this creates a much more transparent experience. The horse trainer can share notes through Stable Pro. The horse trainer can, all the billing is just clear and concise and easy to follow. There's a calendar that's going to be released in the next couple updates that will allow horse trainers to put whatever happens to the horse, whether it's farrier, worming, vaccinations, just goes on the calendar. Client can keep track of it. So it creates a much better experience for the client as well.
Yeah, that you've just brought up something that I didn't think about. You're right. It can go into like a black hole of void because, you know, it probably would be a really good selling point for a trainer to have your product because they can show customers like, hey, look, you get a breakdown of everything that we do. There's not going to be a question here, you know.
Yeah. So they have a breakdown of everything they do. There's also for each horse's profile, the client or the trainer can load horse-specific files, whether it's registration papers, COGINs, health certificate, all that stuff can be loaded right there. So if you got to take a horse on a trip, you have it right there, easy to locate.
Oh, that's really cool. I remember having to keep COGINs and all that good stuff. And if it wasn't in the truck, you better pray to God that they know you. They know you're good for it. But
yeah, or you have a whole bunch of horses that look very similar.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So what plans do you have? I know you plan on showing. That's your goal, you said. Obviously in 2025, because we're done with 2024. For 2025, your plans are to show, and you're going to kind of do a little bit of both. Now, you don't have a horse out in Texas yet, but you're going to have one with Casey?
So I have a Maverick filly that is over there with Casey now, or will be dropped off. It's over with the friends right now, and it will be dropped off at the first of the year. To start with Casey.
How cool is that? That's exciting.
Just turning two and getting started.
Very cool. But then now you have one where you're at now that you're going to kind of do on your own?
And then I have Nikki, my kind of Stable Pro model, who I raised her from a foal. She was basically born right into my arms and been my horse since day one. And so she's a 2-year-old going on 3 now, and that's who I'm just kind of working and babying into the steps. So we'll start doing some novice stuff here before too long with her.
There's just something different about a horse that you raise, like from when it, my mare that I buried in 2019, she was 30 years old.
Yeah.
There's something different about the ones that you raise, like you're right there when they're born until you put them in the ground. It's just something different about being with a horse that long from start to finish. You literally grow with them. Not that you can't get attached to other ones, you know, that you buy, you know, later on or whatever. I'm not saying it's better or less. It's just something different about it. It's almost like your child. It's literally like a child.
It took her a little while for her to realize that she was special because she was a little turd for quite a while. But we got her over that, and now she's just doing awesome.
Well, that's exciting. And it's fun. You know, I think you got to have a good horse to learn with you.
Yeah. And, I mean, we have lots and lots of horses here as options that I could play with, but a lot of them are brood mares, and then I even have a couple Andalusians and horses, 1 year old turning two that were just about to get started. So I have lots of options. It's just Nikki's my kind of go-to.
Well, let me ask you this. So what all do you have exactly now? Let's get off of Stable Pro. Let's get back onto the ranch. So obviously it's cow related, correct? But you've got studs there too.
Yeah.
So how many studs do you stand there?
Sorry, not studs. I've generally avoided standing studs just because, like, people who have a stud, their life is all about that stud. I've watched it numerous times with the horse world. You market that stud. That stud is your life. And so I like to have mares, and especially with the prevalence of just shipping AI and even now the recent mares, it's so easy to get the top stallions in the world. Their semen shipped right to you. And it's not the easiest thing because I still have to drive an hour to 2 hours to the airport and back, but it's a lot easier than it used to be.
Do you think that since you've been around the breeding industry, obviously for your parents for years, do you think it's do you think the number of available stallions has increased drastically since Yellowstone, or is it just me? Because I feel like maybe I'm an idiot and I just wasn't in tune with it for years before now, but I feel like there's so many studs out there. It's almost just saturated.
Yeah. Yellowstone has had an impact on the horse world in
absolutely
so many ways. I mean, I don't even have a TV and I know that. But the other thing is, like, the top stallions are getting so popular and have so much money behind them that they are very expensive. I mean, it's not uncommon to see a $10,000, $6,000 to $10,000 for a stud fee, plus then you have shoot fees and the mail-out fees and everything that goes with that, and that's before it even hits your vet.
Yeah, that's insane to me to invest. Like, to me, I'm not knocking anybody that does it. If you've got the money to play like that, by all means, all the power to you, but that's a lot of money for not an investment. It's not necessarily, usually 50% of the time, it's not an investment. The other time, they're investing. They know what they're doing. We're not talking about those people. You know, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, it makes it difficult for the average horse owner to buy in at that level. But, I mean, of course, we're all horse people, so we still do it.
Right. Well,
we're all crazy and we still do it.
Oh, God, no. I'm over that part. You know what? I have come to the conclusion that horse people are technically not crazy. We are just, it's like because you have levels of crazy. You know, we literally paid somebody to judge us. Like, who does that? But,
yeah.
No, I think a lot, you know, most of these upper, I guess, more expensive studs, usually, obviously, you want to set your price point for the certain market that you want to hit. You know what I mean? You know, you have some studs out there that only take X amount of mares. You have some studs that actually go through a sometimes they will deny your mare, you know, depending on what it is and things of that nature. So I get that. I understand that, because you want to weed out. You want to keep the genes the way that you've got it, and the breeding and pedigrees the way that you have it. But just to ask your average person to want to possibly get a sliver into that, whether they have the money or not, it's like, whoa, it's crazy. I'm sure it's worth it, though.
I was that average person not long ago, and I went from just being on the ranch, having good mares that came out of stallions that had lots of money behind them, but they were still kind of your basic entry-level brood mare.
Right.
And so I was that person who had to learn the process and meet the people and figure out what it takes to step up to the next level. And luckily I've been very blessed to have, I mean, Casey helped me pick this Maverick baby. And then I actually took a recip embryo or an embryo out of his mare and put it in a recip with a Gonna Trash It baby that's due February here. And so I've been blessed in that regard, because they've helped me kind of handpick these next level horses.
Well, so let me ask you this question. What was it that made you go from average horse owner, quote unquote, which would be, I would be considered this average person, because you would not see me pay that type of money. What was it? What factor took you from that to, okay, now I am that person that I was talking about, buying this embryo, doing this ordeal?
Yeah, and I have to say the caveat is I'm still learning. But I'm learning from really good people that have done this and figured out how to make it a profitable business at the same time as being able to enjoy their horses. And so now I'm able to look at the steps that I actually have to take in order to do the horse business and actually have it turn a profit, rather than just be stuck paying money.
I'm glad you said that, because you are right. Your average person, even me, like, we can get a little jaded in the horse industry, because you do see nothing but it, you can almost lose sight of the fact that being in horses can be very profitable. It can be very lucrative if you do it, mm-hmm. if you do it right, because you can't get jaded into thinking that there's no money in it, because that's all you ever see or hear, you know?
Yeah. You go to a show and you spend all your money and that's it. But like that all ties back into the conversation we started with, when I was telling you how I watched my parents and I told myself over and over again, there has to be a better way of doing this. And so those were the founding thoughts for Stable Pro. Those were the founding thoughts for building the ranch and really developing my horse career in general.
Well, I think that's awesome. But what advice would you give to somebody that's looking to what advice would you have for somebody who is completely non-horse person, never even seen any of it, never nothing? What advice would you give them to get their feet wet? And then what advice would you give somebody who not necessarily is struggling, but it's just kind of like at a plateau, like it's just kind of like at a standstill? What advice would you have for those two people?
Absolutely. Person one, they're interested in horses and just don't know where to start. You can find off numerous web resources. Billy White mentioned the NRHA resource. Even Stable Pro, you can find local trainers through there if you create a client account. And you can just reach out to the trainer and see if they can give you some fundamental, like, basic lessons, and that gets your feet wet. That's a really good way of just getting started. It's not that expensive, and you can do it without diving in head first. You can do it once a week. You do it once a month. That's where I would start. Then you can start figuring out if you want to elevate to the next level, exploring barns that might stable a horse for you, or rent a horse out that you can take lessons more consistently with and grow your experience that way. Then for the person who maybe struggles some and is trying to figure out how to leverage their business and grow their talent, connecting with, I think the partnerships that can be built in the horse industry is huge. And if I were in that position, I would start working with whatever local trainer is doing very well and do whatever I can to help from them, but at the same time, learn their processes. I'd love to chip in and say Stable Pro can set you up for success, but you have to learn the fundamentals. We have studied and built in as many best practices as we could, but you still have to kind of learn how to show, learn how to approach clients and bring in clients and just the whole business side of it, and then Stable Pro can help you from there.
Very cool.
Full to the horse world.
Yeah, because you want, I mean, it's a solution to a problem.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a great thing, because, you know, it's, you know, horse training is so like, well, the Western industry culture altogether is kind of old school related. You know what I mean? It's very, the work ethic's old school. It's literally not very technology involved because it is what it is, you know. And yeah. So for you to be able to provide this type of technology, it would be great for horse people to kind of get a little grasp of other things that are going on, and it'll ultimately help them. Just like the Yellowstone. That's funny you brought up Yellowstone. I firmly believe, like, without Yellowstone, the industry, you would not have seen the prices that you've seen on stuff, period. It never would have happened because that Hollywood shine just took a whole new level. It did, because, you know, it did because before Yellowstone, it was, horse people were weird. I mean, we still are weird, but horse people were weird, and it was a very, very even smaller dynamic of people and things, and places. If you wanted to go horse training, you had to get in your car and go up the road and find them. You had to go, you know, do that type of stuff. And the lifestyle wasn't necessarily, you know, Kelly Jo down the road and her kid, if she was going to choose between putting her kid in ballerina or soccer or horses, they'd probably do soccer and dance, you know.
Yeah.
And then Yellowstone come around and put a whole new light on it, and it shined it, and it brought the twinkle in non-horse people's eyes. Oh, well, I would like that lifestyle. And with desire comes increase in price. So,
yeah, it's funny because it was, and forgive me if I mention things wrong here. I don't even own a TV. I've never seen any of these things, but I've kind of followed it a little bit on social media and in the horse world, seen a little bit of the trends. But they had Yellowstone, and then Taylor Sheridan also created The Last Cowboy, and all these things that kind of went hand in hand that took and first exposed people to the horse world and then got them in a little deeper and a little deeper. So he approached it in a very smart way.
Yeah, he did. And he does a lot. He does a lot for, from what I've been told, he's not just a producer and that decided to say, hey, let me just hop up in the horse industry for the hell of it. He actually does a lot of things behind the scenes. Like, he does a lot of stuff for the NRHA. He does a lot of stuff he was kind of behind the whole NCHA, well, not NCHA, but the whole, I don't remember how to say his name. It's not Aaron. Tampa's Adon, I think. The dude won, there in New York. And Bella and all of that.
I think I butchered his name, too.
Yeah, yeah. It's not Aaron. It's Adon, I believe. Yeah, yeah, that's it. I believe he was, like, kind of behind that. So he has his hands in a lot of things kind of behind the scenes that actually could just, like, help to the industry, you know. So I think it's great. I really do. But I firmly believe, like, some of the prices that you have seen for horses to go and the desire to have the lifestyle, it would not be what it was without Yellowstone.
Yeah. I think all my friends from back in, like, pharmacy school and stuff now kind of understand what I do better.
Oh, cool. Yeah, because were you the weird horse guy? And they were like, what are you doing with horses? And now you're the cool guy.
Yeah. Nobody understood my passions and my drive and anything. But like, so now they kind of see what it actually takes and goes into to create something like that. Plus kind of just following my journey with building the ranch and Stable Pro too.
Well, it sounds like you've got a lot on your plate, and a lot's going to be happening, and I think it's great, you know. Congratulations to you. You're living your dream.
Well, thank you so much, and I'm so grateful for everyone who's chosen to be involved, and the trainers who get on the platform. Like, I'm constantly learning from everybody who... I mean, even this process of coming on my very first podcast, that was quite a hurdle to jump.